Good morning, Shelbyville Church. And good morning, happy Sabbath to everyone who is listening on our radio station today. We thank you for tuning in, and we pray that God has a blessing for you today. And those who are on the internet watching live, we thank you for choosing this church to listen to today. We pray that God has a blessing for each one of us. And as I begin here today to tell you this story about how he paid it all, I want you to pray with me, if you will, please. Heavenly Father, help us, Father, to hear your voice. Send your Holy Spirit to teach us from your word. Give us your blessing today. May we say something that will uplift you and that will encourage us. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we're looking at a scripture from Job chapter 19, beginning in verse number 25. It says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, and though my reins be consumed within me." When Adam and Eve were created back in the Garden of Eden at the beginning of this world, they were made as free human beings. They had the freedom, the liberty to walk around in the Garden of Eden and to enjoy all the blessings that God had given to them there. They had this freedom of being able to come to God face to face and talk with him, communicating with him day after day. But when they turned against God and began to trust more in the devil than in God, they were no longer free. They became captives. As a result, they lost all of their privileges and their freedom, and they became slaves to sin. The result was terrible for this whole world. In fact, evolution tells us that the world, day by day, is getting better and better and better, and this world has been in existence, according to evolutionary thought, for millions and millions of years. And yet the Bible tells us that the world, from the time that God made it in the Garden of Eden, has spiraled down out of control and is getting worse and worse day by day. You can see that happening in society around us. All the tragedy that is happening, this world is shaking with the things that are going wrong in this world, and it is an opportunity for us to recognize that Jesus is coming soon. God is trying to tell us something. Wake up. This world's coming to an end. It's not going to get better and better over time. It will never get better until Jesus comes back and restores this earth to the place that he made it at the beginning. Evolution was wrong, but God was right. And if we look at what Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 tells us about what happened after Adam and Eve lost their faith and trust in God and began to follow after the devil, this is what it says here. That in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." This is this downward spiral that took place in humanity. But we have this promise that when Jesus was born and came to this earth to save us from our sin, according to Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, Emmanuel came to this earth to put a stop to this downward spiral in the life of humanity. We're told in the story of Jesus throughout all of the scriptures that Jesus ransomed us, that he paid our debt that we could not possibly pay. Listen, friends, there's not enough time in this life that you and I live for us to be able to pay for what Jesus has done for us. There is not enough money in this world for us to be able to reimburse God for what he did in sending his son Jesus Christ to this earth. How much would you have to personally work for the church or in this community for God to be able to reimburse God for what he's done in your life? How much money, how much gold would have to be paid to be able to pay God back for what he's done for us? Jesus paid the debt for us. In fact, when we look at the word ransom, it says payment for release. And Jesus delivered us from the slavery to Satan and to sin. Look with me here in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 28. Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 28. It says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus came to ransom us back into the right relationship with God. He made that atonement for us. He paid the debt that you and I could never possibly pay. It is a free gift to anybody who will accept it. All those who are listening today that are hearing my voice, the preaching of this word, Jesus paid that debt for us. And that's why at this time of the year, at Christmas time, we're reminded about Jesus, the baby that was born in Bethlehem. But why did he come to this earth? It was for the fact that he came to ransom us from the clutches of the devil, to take us away from that slavery that we had been enslaved to bring us into freedom once more again in Christ Jesus. And Jesus has set us free. In fact, Jesus himself said it, that if the Son of Man makes you free, you're free indeed. Isn't that true? So are you free today? Have you still been caught up in slavery to sin? Are you free today in Jesus Christ? This time of the year at Christmas is a good time for us to think about where are we at with Jesus. Look with me here in the New Testament in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6 and verses 16 through 18. Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse number 16. It says, "Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." And I say, praise God. What about you? Praise God that he sent Jesus here to set us free, to take us out of the clutches of the devil. Look at further in this text. It says in verse 20, "For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I am so thankful that in that text in verse 23, that little "but" right there changes the whole position of humanity. Through Jesus Christ, the gift of God is eternal life to each one of us today. And I hope that as we think about that, that as we contemplate at this Christmas season what it really means, Christmas is more than just the Christmas tree. It's more than pretty gifts that are wrapped underneath the tree on Christmas Day that we share with our friends and family. It has to do with Jesus Christ. And the whole world at this time of the year is focused on Jesus, that babe that was born in Bethlehem. But you know, the good thing of it is that Jesus isn't still a baby in that little crib in the manger in Bethlehem. He's a God who is serving for us up in heaven in the holy sanctuary, ministering for us day by day as our mediator. He stands between God the Father and us, and he uses his blood as an example for our salvation. He covers us that our sins have been made. And he also sets us free when we're willing to give in to God. In Romans chapter 5, at verse number 5 through 10, it says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love towards us, and that we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." And then verse 17 through 21, it says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, but much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, and even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by obedience one shall be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And I say, praise God, that God's grace is much more abundant than the sin that abounds in this world. Amen to God, that he thought so much of us that he would send his own son down here to pay the ransom to deliver us from the captivity the devil had us under. The devil wears a slippery suit. You've heard me say it many times. And if we're not careful, he'll slip it on us. But if we're intentional, Jesus can cover us with his shed blood and free us from the slippery suit the devil puts on us. He can set us free. He can deliver us. He paid that ransom. He paid that debt that all of us owed. Look with me back in the Old Testament. In the book of Ruth, we have this story of redemption. We have this ideal in Ruth chapter 2, verse 20. We see here in Ruth chapter 2, verse 20, it says, "And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." And so Naomi is telling Ruth that Boaz was their next of kin, and he was supposed to perform this act of redemption for them. In this story, the word ga'al means to redeem, to recover, to ransom. And in Isaiah, we see there that in the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah uses the word ga'al, and he uses that 18 times, referring to the Redeemer of this world, Jesus Christ. The word ga'al means near kinsman, and that's what it is talking about, Boaz being the near kinsman, the ga'al for Naomi and Ruth. And he made the ransom. He paid the debt to redeem, to recover them for their family. And that's exactly what Jesus came into this world to do, to pay the ransom for us. He became our ga'al, so we could be free from all of the things the devil had done to us. And Job chapter 19, verse 25, we've already read it. In Job chapter 19, verse 25, we see here the story of how God has sent his son here to deliver us. And Job is looking forward to the time when God would come back to this earth and he would see him for his own self in his own flesh. And he makes this statement, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." What about you, friends? That's still burning in your heart, that knowing that someday soon Jesus is coming back to this earth, that your Redeemer is not dead and in the grave and just his old dusty bones are laying down there in some cave over in the east? No, our Redeemer lives. No, Job saw that. He knew for certain that his Redeemer would live and stand at the last day and that he would see him face to face. What about you? Are you in a position right now to be able to say, like Job, that I know my Redeemer lives and that someday I know that I'm going to see him face to face? You see, this is what Jesus came to this earth for. That's what Christmas is supposed to remind us of. This is supposed to tell us about why the baby was born in Bethlehem, so that Jesus could redeem us and pay the ransom for our release. Jesus delivered us from the clutches of the devil so that we could be free in him. Look with me now in Ruth chapter 4 at verse number 17. In Ruth chapter 4 at verse number 17, it says, "And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name," speaking about the baby that was born to Boaz and Ruth, "saying, There is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. And now these are the generations of Pharez. Pharez begat Hezron. Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Amadad. And Amadad begat Nashon, and Nashon begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed. And Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. Now, you look with me here in this story. You see here in Matthew chapter 1 how Matthew is recounting the same thing that was being said in Ruth, and he gives the whole lineage of Jesus so that people will recognize that he is the one who was promised, and he is the true Redeemer, the Messiah, who was to come to this earth and make restitution, to make payment for each one of us. You look here in Matthew chapter 1 at verse number 15, and it says, "And Eliud begat Eleazar, Eleazar begat Mathan, and Mathan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who was called Christ. And so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David unto the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. And now, we see here in this story that it talks about all of the lineage of David. And Matthew goes through that to show that he is actually the promised one that is to come to us through David. He is the one who was promised to come and redeem us. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we go back to that story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 3, 15, after they had sinned against God and turned away from him, there is this promise that God gives to Adam and Eve as they're standing there facing God. And he said in verse number 15, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Now you look here further on in Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 3. There is this promise to Abraham, who was the father of the faithful. This promise comes to Abraham from the Lord. And he says in verse 3, "I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." And in verse 7, it says, "And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." This is what God has promised to us: a redeemer, a next of kin, someone who is our elder brother, who has paid the ransom, who has paid the debt for each one of us. In Galatians chapter 4, back in this New Testament, we see in Galatians 4:4, God says this to each one of us. He says here in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law." During the time was just right, friends. When the earth was so bad that it needed help, God sent his son to redeem each one of us. He is our next of kin. And you see there in chapter 3 and verse number 16 of Galatians, we see in Galatians 3, verse 16, it says, "Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made." We read that in Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. "He saith not, and to seeds of many, but as of one, and of thy seed, which is Christ." You see, this promise of Jesus was given to Adam and Eve back in the Garden of Eden. God promised the seed, Jesus Christ. And that promise was reconfirmed in this covenant to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, that seed would come. It was a promise to Abraham and to all of his family. And we see here that Paul is talking in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, that this seed is none other than Jesus Christ himself. That is the promise that God has made, that he was going to give us a redeemer who is Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 10. Listen to what this has to say. In Isaiah chapter 35 and verse number 10. "And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." This is exactly what Jesus came for, friends, to give us peace in our heart. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men is what the angels sang when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And when the Prince of Peace came to this earth, friends, he offered this gift of peace to every person upon earth. Do you have peace in your heart today? Are you okay with Jesus today, friends? You see, Jesus wants us to have that peace. And that everything that happens in our life sometimes steals a little piece of that peace away from us. We need to understand that Jesus promises peace to all of us. And you cannot find peace in anything else on this earth. You can't find peace with your friends, in your work, in the things that you own. You can't find peace in those little gifts under the Christmas tree. You can't find peace anywhere else except for having the Prince of Peace in your heart. That is the only way that we can have true, lasting peace. And turn with me, if you will, for our last text today in Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 2, and I'll begin with verse number 11. In Ephesians 2, verse 11, it says, "Wherefore remember that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in flesh made by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." I say praise God for that, because it is through him that you and I have the promise of eternal life. It is through Jesus, the Prince of Peace, who was born in Bethlehem, that you and I can have peace in our hearts today. Listen to this in verse number 20 of this same chapter. It says, "And were built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." It is through God that you and I will have peace. Do you want that peace in your life today? Listen to me, friends. If you've been struggling in life, if the devil's been making your life miserable and hard and difficult, you need peace. You need to have the joy that not just Christmas gives, but what the Prince of Peace offers to us. Maybe you're listening on the radio today, or you're watching on the internet. I'm offering to you Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Won't you come to Jesus today and give your heart to him, fresh and new? Whether you've been a Christian all your life or you're just now thinking and contemplating about needing that peace that only Christ can give, I invite you today to come to Jesus, to commit your life to him, to recommit your life to him fresh and new today, and ask Jesus, the Prince of Peace, to come into your life and to give you all of the joy and peace and happiness that he has to give. Won't you do that today? Won't you come to him? Is there somebody here today you'd just like to raise your hand and say to Jesus, "I want your peace in my life today"? Is there anybody? Is there somebody else? You want to accept Christ as your personal Savior? Is there someone else who is listening on the radio or watching on the internet? You want to say to Jesus today, "I want your peace in my life"? Praise God. Thank you for raising your hand today. Thank you for all those who have said yes today. I want Jesus, the Prince of Peace. If you're listening on the radio, there is an offer for a book today that will come to you if you just say to our people on the radio that you want that kind of peace and you want the book that is being offered. If you're listening on the internet, we want you to be able to tell us whether or not you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior today and that you've accepted the peace that he wants to give you. Won't you give a note to the people on the internet who are controlling this series? Won't you please write a message to them and let them know about your accepting Christ as your personal Savior. We'd like to be able to send you something that will help encourage you in your faith and your walk with the Lord. But we need to hear from you so that we can do that. But today I'm hoping and praying that as you've listened to Jesus Christ speaking to your heart, that you will find peace in your life that surpasses all knowledge, all understanding. And may we today go through this holiday season with the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, in our hearts. Pray with me if you will, please. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love, for your blessing to each one of us. May your Holy Spirit guide us during this holiday season closer and closer to you through Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. May we find that joy and happiness in knowing him as our personal Savior. May that give us peace in our life. And I thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us. I thank you that you've kept your promise and sent the seed that was promised to Adam and Eve, to Abraham, and also to each one of us. May we find Jesus today in our life. Amen.